time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
Today is Sunday, July 16th, and it's time for episode 197 of the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent and Chris. Welcome to the show, guys.
Howdy.
Hey, Vincent. Hey, Tom.
Hey, man, my voice was kind of breaking there, but it sounded like Peter Brady. My voice is cracking.
Many of our listeners won't know who Peter Brady is and what you're referring to.
That's true. The old Brady Bunch. It's on tons of there's some cable channel that runs all the time, right? The old episodes of the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
Anyway, Peter Brady famously had some episodes where his voice cracked as it was changing, but that's what I sounded like right up front. Today is Sunday as we record this. Either of you fans of Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Well, it's returning tonight.
It is.
Yeah, seventh season starts tonight. It's a shorter season. I think there's only like 8 episodes. And then they're going to come back for a final season, which is kind of sad. So this is the beginning of the end for Game of Thrones. And because we were recording today, this past week, I kind of looked to see if there are any Game of Thrones Apple Watch apps. And sadly, I could find none.
Oh, really?
I know you can customize your watch face with images from the show. You know, you can put on there maybe the whatever house you follow. You can put their symbol on the watch, or I guess you could have a custom band made, you know, like from Casetify, that company. But I couldn't find anything for the watch. And the only thing I did find was that some student a long time ago had designed, and it was just a design, a really cool Apple Watch app that showed the relationship between all the characters on the show, which was really cool because it's such a vast world and hard to keep track of all these characters, but that was never an actual app that was made. I hope we got a good grade on it, but it was a very nice design, but it wasn't actually produced. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the show tonight. So
I'll be watching 8 weeks from now. No spoilers. I'm going to wait for the entire season to be over before I start binge watching.
Oh, you binge watch?
Oh, yeah. I kind of watch it one show a day. One show an evening rather than having to
wait a week
in between where my mind goes crazy.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn between those types of things. But what I find fun in between, and you know, when you follow very popular shows like Breaking Bad, and I think it all started with Lost, you know, quite a few years ago, but it's all the speculation between episodes. And that's fun. All the things that, you know, fan theories. And I mean, how many podcasts are there about TV shows?
Right.
There's thousands of them out there. And that's the reason why people, you know, spend an hour just chatting about one show, like we spend an hour chatting about the Apple Watch. But they speculate, you know, between episodes. But it's a different experience. It really is if you consume it in a different time frame like that. I find it's very difficult to do certain shows like back to back to back, you know, without any break in between.
Well, Tom, you know, I think you said there's 7 or 8 episodes, but I went and looked, and all of them are over 1 hour in HBO time, and some are either like an hour and 15, hour 20. So you're getting like 12 episodes of content. I think that's what the article I read in a shorter period of time. So it is going to be a, you know, conceptually, just as much TV time, just a shorter amount of weeks.
Right. So if we want to chat about this, we've got to be quiet for Vincent after tonight. After tonight. So if you want to spoil it for you.
I'm going to wait for the winter.
But how can you avoid it, though? That's going to be impossible to avoid talk if something big happens.
It's, yeah.
Right? I mean,
it's impossible these days.
It is. It really is tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I was lost on the whole Hodor trick for the gimmick for the longest time. Yeah.
Oh, it was spoiled for you?
Well, I didn't know what it was until it finally came around and got to that episode and was like, oh, okay.
And by the way, we just
I get the inside joke now.
And we probably just spoiled something for someone. So if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, apologize for that. But
well, I read all the books. And the books ended, I think, after season 5, I think. So they didn't have the Hodor thing kind of worked out in the books. So I kept, you know, the author's probably like, how am I going to get this Hodor thing worked out, you know? And he finally did. And it kind of worked. So, yeah. So, you know, I guess we did spoil it, but.
I think I got into, I was three, maybe partway into four when I stopped the books, because the show was going on. It was just so hard to keep up with.
The labor of love, I'll tell you that. The books have a lot of detail and hundreds of more characters probably that you don't even see on the TV show.
It is a different experience. I'd almost prefer to watch the show not knowing anything, though. Because now they're into total fiction land, right? I mean,
they are.
Well,
they
it's
are.
All fiction, but I mean, they're not. They have no books to go by. What they're doing now. Anyway, welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast.
There you go.
Oh man, there's so many of them out there. I listened to a few of them. They're kind of good. Hey, real quick, did you get your National Park Challenge medals yesterday?
Yes.
No, you didn't. You missed it. Oh,
total
Vincent.
Fail.
Oh no. Yeah. So for those who weren't listening last week's show or haven't heard, if you did a run, walk, or a wheelchair of 3.5 miles, and this was yesterday, you got a special medal and messages, stickers, which were kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Now, we had several listeners comment that they had not received the notification for the medal ahead of time until like 2 days before the challenge. You know how if you look in your activity – on your phone, where your medals are, you'll see like some blank ones that you haven't, that means you haven't achieved it yet, right? Well, that didn't show up for this challenge until 2 days before the actual event. And the same for me, it didn't show up until Thursday. So why is that? Why? I mean, Apple did the same thing with the last challenge. Why cut it so close? I mean, if you're not a listener of this podcast, or you didn't keep up with the latest tech news, you may not have known this was even coming. And 2 days may not be enough time for you to make plans, which is why Vincent didn't get to run, right? No, no, that's not true.
The weather got me.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah, but I did try. I did attempt to do some vigorous walking in the mall away from the storms. So that did not happen.
But I don't know why. You know, they announced this weeks in advance, but it doesn't show up on the phone or the watch until right before the event. I don't get it. Why not do both? Send the notification when it's announced weeks in advance, and then another reminder a few days before the event. You know, also, how about a reminder the day of? And I don't know if there is one of those, because I went early in the morning, so I didn't give it a chance. But
You and I finished probably within 10 minutes of each other, because I got your you sent the text saying you've got it.
Right.
I was just finishing up.
Okay.
So I sent mine over within 10 minutes. So I don't think there's a reminder.
Yeah, I think they're dropping the ball on that. If they want more people to participate, at least.
I just saw a little notification badge on the app. Is that what it was? On the activity
on the
phone?
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, that's
exactly
the only
what
thing
it was. It's the badge. Yep. So I don't think there's a true notification. It was just like, hey, there's the badge and open me up and see what came in.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think Apple needs to give people a little more notice. Because not a lot of people follow the tech news like we do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the only way they know about any of this. It shows up on their phone. And anyway, I hope everybody did well and actually participated. We got some. Well, I'll talk about listener feedback in a little bit. We heard from some people who did actually do the challenge. So, and I almost didn't get a chance to do it as well there, Vincent, because of an injury. What was it? Wednesday, I was out for a run and I kind of twisted my ankle a bit.
And that's when you hop on your wheelchair.
I wish I had one. I thought I was down for the count. It was, you know, part of my run that's not paved. I had to go over a little grass area. It's very short. And I should have just walked it. And I definitely will from now on. But my right foot came down on something in the grass, some little divot or something, and my ankle rolled hard to the right. And then to compensate, it immediately rolled hard to the left. And I limped out of that, from my run. I didn't fall down, but I thought immediately when it happened, there's going to be one of those injuries that just you're sidelined for months. And I had about a mile and a half to go. And surprisingly, I was able to still run on it and get home without too much pain. It never swelled up. I took a few days off of my running. So the National Park Challenge run was just fine. There's a little bit of pain, but not too much. It's more of a stiff muscle kind of feel than an injury. But I got lucky. I got real lucky because that could have been really bad.
Well, you know, Tom, I wondered why I got a notification on my watch that said, Tom just swore.
Yeah, you heard me all the way through the watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was along a road too, and I'm sure some people driving by saw me about almost take a tumble there.
I'm glad it wasn't as bad as you thought.
No, I think I'm going to be okay. Also up front here, like I do every show, I want to mention Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/AppleWatchCast, you can support our show and you can subscribe. You can become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And for your subscription, you can get some cool stuff. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to bonus episodes. You can get all kinds of cool stuff, including being a guest on the show. And darn it, one day someone's going to take us up on that. So check us out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And I just want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. We really do appreciate it. All right. What do you say we dive in? You guys set? All right. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast News.
All right, time for the news. Just a few stories to talk about this week. The first one, this is something that's been in the news for a while, and this, I think, is a bit of a change or an update to the story, that Apple has extended its free repair of your first generation, or beta, as we call it, Apple Watch, if you have a detached back cover. Now, we know that's been happening. We've heard from a number of listeners. I think that happened to your mother-in-law, did it not, Vincent?
Indeed.
Yeah. Where the back of your watch will actually pop off. Very frightening. It usually happens when you take it off the charger. It tends to stick. But usually that's from the battery expanding inside, and there's just the pressure just pops that back right off. Well, Apple has now extended the coverage up to 3 years after the original purchase date. So if you bought an Apple Watch, let's say in April of 2015, it's good for a free repair all the way through April of 2018, all the way through next April. So I'm not, was it 2 years originally, and now they just made it three? Is that the change here?
I get confused with the Apple care things. I mean, it's usually it's like the first year, and then you buy it to extend it another 2 years or something. And I always thought it was three, and then it wasn't, and I was corrected.
Yeah.
I think AppleCare adds 1 year to it. So you get one with it, AppleCare adds a year, and then they add this third year. I think that's how it is.
Right. But so is this really new? Are we, I mean, didn't we talk about this already? Or has the time changed on it? I'm not sure.
I think they extended it.
They did. Okay.
Even more. Yeah.
But it, as I said, it applies only to the first generation Apple Watch, including the Sport Edition and the the Edition. If you had the Edition pop off, you'd be a little upset. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, even if your Apple Care coverage has elapsed, this is still good. You call an Apple store or schedule a Genius Bar appointment or visit an Apple authorized service provider. And I'm not sure who those are these days, but apparently they are out there. But they can initiate the repair process. You can also call Apple support to arrange shipment of your watch back to an Apple repair center in a postage paid box if you don't want to go down to the store or go anywhere else.
Now, I'm surprised they don't have like a batch number or something like that to let you know that yours is a part of that group, because they usually do that, right? I mean, they know what vendor in the supply chain kind of like this affected versus like, is it just random?
Is it bad batteries, you think?
Yeah.
Or bad glue.
That could be either.
It could be either or both.
Maybe just behavior, like you're charging it a little too much or something. I don't know.
Well, they're pretty much saying any first-gen watch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, Vincent, if it's in a certain batch. But the reason they extend it, was it just to have really good customer satisfaction, or it's happening more and more, or both?
Yeah, it could be both. Now, if you've already had this repaired, you can contact Apple to get a refund. Oh, wow. If you paid to have it done, you contact Apple support and they'll arrange that for you as well. So they are bending over backwards to help fix this issue. Now, and apparently they seem to have fixed it in the Series 1 and Series 2. I've not heard of any of those having the backs popped off.
Yeah,
we haven't.
Not yet. Yes. Give it another couple of years. I think it's just the nature of those lithium, those batteries, right? Mm-hmm. Lithium ion, is that right? And that goes for anything, right? Cell phone, any type of gadget that has this type of a battery in it that's charged and, you know, over and over and over, sometimes it fails. But yeah, you're right, Vince. I would have thought you could have narrowed it down to a certain batch. And I'm sure they're keeping very, you know, good records on which ones are coming back to get an idea so they can go after the vendor that did this and get, and get some compensation back. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, if you have one, if it happens, don't panic. If it's a first-gen watch, it's going to be totally covered, no matter what. The next story that came out this week, I don't know what you guys think about this. Louis Vuitton, right? Big fashion name, right?
Sure.
They just launched a smartwatch running Google software. It's called the Timur, T-A-M-O-U-R, Timur Horizon. It's kind of a range of different watches. They have a couple of them. Mm-hmm. That are running Google's Android Wear software. Have you seen this watch?
Looking at it right now.
Just the pictures
I know I'm going to get in trouble when I say this. It's one of the most ugliest watches I've ever seen.
I knew you were going there. Yeah. I knew you were going there too. I thought it is so damn. Oh, can I say that? It's so darn busy.
Yeah.
The watch face is busy, and you really can't get a good feel for looking at the watch face, what it's all for.
Yeah, I mean, I understand style and design and Louis Vuitton, and it has its own distinctive leather pattern bands, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. That's cool, you know, different premium metals and all that kind of stuff. But the watch face and the size of it, just it's kind of clunky. But maybe that's the whole point of that style. Now, apparently apparently it'll be capable of providing alerts from your smartphone, like incoming text messages, phone calls, and can help track the number of steps you take each day. So it's definitely not a fitness watch, but, you know, and thousands of apps that are available from Google's App Store will add more functionality to it. But here's the killer. This is according to the New York Times, because Louis Vuitton has not, they don't list prices on their website right now, but the New York Times said that these watches will range from $2,450 to $2,900. And it doesn't even do everything the Apple Watch does.
Well, did you guys watch the video? I mean, the one shot that they have there is super busy, but it seems like the other screens are... I'm not knocking Apple here, but, like, you know, we've always wanted custom screens.
Oh, they have...
Watch faces.
Yeah.
And, you know, these... Louis Vuitton's delivering on that, right? They're creating all these really, really... nice looking ones. There's some of them that are nice on the screen. It's interesting to see where the screen ends and the actual analog part of it begins on the edge of the bevel.
Right.
But yeah, I mean,
but if
they're trying.
Yeah, I understand that. But did they not learn anything from Apple's edition? That
right.
High end, high dollars on these smartwatches do not do very well.
That's true.
Mean, that's a big test case that Apple did, but.
It's 1/4 of the price of an edition, so maybe they're going to get some market out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, okay. They're getting the high-end luxury market. You know, people who buy these brands, right, they're going to buy them no matter what. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. The same reason they buy anything else from Louis Vuitton, right? I mean, good for them. Now they have a choice of a smartwatch that has that name on it.
Right, right. Status more than anything else. You know, could work really well or not, but they have it on their wrist.
Yeah. Okay, not for me. That's all I'm saying.
What's the difference between these kind of like higher end watches, like Rolex? Is, I mean, when you buy it, you can essentially resell it for the same value that it was previously.
Not this one.
But these smartwatches, you can't.
No, not this one. This one will not maintain its $2,900 investment.
Exactly.
That you're right. That is different from other Louis Vuitton products, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Well, at least the title wasn't another smartwatch Apple should be worried about, right? Because every time something comes up that's anything smartwatch, someone's going to write a story. Oh, Apple should be worried about this one. That wasn't in this article, at least.
No, it wasn't. And that's actually one coming up. That's one I want to talk about because it's a absolutely ridiculous thing. But next, I did want to talk about a new patent that came out from Apple. There's a number of different patents here. In fact, there was a total of 57 of them. But this one was kind of interesting. And again, when we get into these patents, it's all this, you know, technical speak and stuff. So I apologize if your eyes are going to glaze over here for a moment or two. But it covered an advanced transparent fiber composite. So it's an actual material that could be used, and they're saying with an automotive application or perhaps wearable devices. So this is Apple creating its own, like it created its own metals for the watch. Basically, they're creating their own composite here. And they're saying, glass fibers are one of the most common fibers that are used to reinforce composites, which is where you get the term fiberglass from. Well, this one is ceramic fibers can be used to reinforce the resins in a similar way, which makes it even stronger, I would imagine, because it's ceramic. But this is what really blows my mind. They're talking, they note in this patent how this has been designed to where the light, a ray of light as it enters the resin from air and forms and bends in accordance with what they're calling Snell's law. I'm sure that's some big scientific thing about the way light bends. Notably, however, the light ray can travel on a relatively straight path as the light ray travels through two or more glass fibers. Thus, clarity can be improved for light rays traveling through two or more glass fibers. So they're actually creating a better way to get light to come through. Well, that's the back of your Apple Watch, right? That's for the sensors. Mm-hmm. So they're having to create this entire composite of material for sensors. That's kind of cool. That's pretty amazing. That's really getting into the weeds, isn't it?
It is, but again, it's what differentiates what Apple's trying to do with the other smartwatches.
Yes, that's something that they won't be able to easily adapt mm-hmm. to or recreate. Mm-hmm. But they're also saying that they talk about a computer vision sensor. From what they're saying, that's something that is related to autonomous vehicles, where a 3D depth camera could be associated with a projection system that could interpret hand gesturing. So it could be associated with smart windshields, with augmented reality.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be amazing.
I mean, it's funny because I sometimes work with my development teams, and I'm always like, when we hit a roadblock, we always figure out, well, how would Star Trek solve this?
Like, right.
And this is like literally going down that path, Minority Report and sci-fi. Why can't we do that?
But will you see people swiping at their dashboard or swiping at their windshield when they're driving the car, swiping from screen to screen?
Well, you're not driving, so.
That's right. It's autonomous. It's an autonomous vehicle. You can do anything you want. Turns the whole screen into a monitor for you.
There you go.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a day, and probably within our lifetime, where you're going to go back and watch Minority Report and look at how simplified it looks. how kind of juvenile it is compared to what we're going to end up with. Mm-hmm. I really think you're going to look back and because so far we haven't gotten anything quite to that level, but we're getting there. So more patents from Apple. There's 57 of them, including some iMac designs and the tips of the Apple Pencil designed and all other kinds of stuff they got patents for. So good for them. Now, speaking of that, I probably should have put the story in reverse here, but this is an article from Cult of Mac. It says, why Apple Watch should be worried about its latest rival. So here's your headline, Chris. Yeah, that is a headline made specifically for one thing, to make you click.
Yep, read the story.
Because if you read it, it's called Tick Watch, T-I-C, Watch. And it starts at $99. And super affordable. You get a simple, colorful design, GPS tracking, heart rate monitoring, and Android Wear 2.0. Comes in two models, Tick Watch E and Tick Watch S, both of which, now this is where I have a big problem with this next sentence, both of which give you pretty much everything you get from an Apple Watch for around a third of the price. They're almost identical. Yeah, I don't think so. They're talking about the weight of them and how they look and all this. It's got an OLED display, a 1.4-inch OLED display, 287 pixels per inch, Bluetooth 4.1, Wi-Fi connectivity, and a 300 milliamp battery.
What about the number of nits? I want to know nits.
Yes, nits are very important. It's an IP67 rating for water resistance, so it's not waterproof. And it has heart rate monitors. It comes in lemon, black, shadow black, and white. So you have three different colors. Now, I'm reading this whole article thinking, well, okay, there's some competition for the low end here, definitely, until I read that this is a Kickstarter project. This may never ship. This may never see the light of day. And the $99 is if you're early bird pricing. Otherwise, it's going to go to $159 and $199.
I was just going to say, one of us should order it and see what happens.
You'll put $99. I'm hesitant on these Kickstarter. I got to really love the product because a lot of them don't ship ever, and there's no obligation to get your money back at all.
I mean, instead of Apple Watch, if I was Fitbit, I'd be worried.
True. Now, you're right. This would probably take on Fitbit a little bit more than Apple Watch. That's a good point, Vincent. But I just hate these articles with these headlines. It's just, you're right, Chris. Every time there's a new watch out that's anywhere slightly less priced than Apple, they're like, oh, Apple Watch killer coming soon. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and then you read the stories like we just talked about, the patents or the all the fitness and the research and the millions of dollars they're putting into it, and you laugh.
Yeah,
there is no comparison.
No, there isn't. Just because you get it at a lower price doesn't mean it's the same experience at all. Mm-hmm. This next story. Now, correct me if we've already covered this. And now this is a new article. It says Apple shows fitness lab for the first time. Okay, so this was this past Tuesday. It says that Apple opened up the doors of its fitness lab, tucked away in its Cupertino headquarters, which has long been under wraps to the public's eye. Now, did they just release photos maybe in the past? And that now they're actually letting people tour this place?
Possibly.
I don't remember seeing any, but yeah. I know.
Well, when the Apple Watch first came out, we talked about this, and we showed there were some photos, a bunch of articles about how they did all this testing. Well, Jay Blahnik, Apple's Director of Fitness and Health, disclosed that the company's fitness lab has already accumulated more than 33,000 hours of data on how people walk, run, swim, cycle, and sit. The lab has 13 medical doctors, psychologists, exercise experts, and the roster of 29 nurses and medics. And the latest developments that they're looking at in the lab were some of the fitness gears that tap into the new gym kit that's coming to the Apple Watch, the kind of the data sync between the exercise machines and your watch. So that's what they're testing. They're testing it there as well. Apple is the largest buyer of metabolic carts, the machines used to measure oxygen consumption and carbon dioxide production, as well as evaluate the energy during exercise that you expend and to regulate work capacity. They have 50 of these carts. No one has that many.
Dang.
Yeah. Now, this was built a few years, it was before actually the Apple Watch was released. Now, I'm thinking, we talked about some of this before. I'm thinking now they're just now opening it up to the public to actually take a look at it.
Would these be the same doctors, nurses, and medics that support probably the campus hospital? Because that's certainly a lot of employees, man. That's pretty incredible.
Well, yeah. Now, they do mention that the employees are the test subjects. Apple employees are the ones that put all this stuff through its paces in its lab. Now, I imagine they're going to have a much bigger, better, improved lab in their new campus, mm-hmm. correct?
You would think so.
Yeah. I think they're going to have something even better than this.
But, if you're a medical doctor, and so where do you work? I work for Apple.
Yeah.
You would think, well, maybe not. A couple of years ago, I said, oh, great, you must work for their, supporting their employees who are sick. No, I work, in the Apple Watch app,
yep.
Area. That's a totally different answer.
Yeah, you work in development. You don't work in
development. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the word I was trying to think of, development.
Yeah. Anyway, kind of cool. Yeah. I guess ABC had got a tour of this place.
Oh, neat.
ABC or, yeah, ABC News. So I haven't seen, maybe this is upcoming on a special show or something. I haven't seen anything in here that has any video or anything like that.
I'm looking at the last paragraph here about the fitness tracking AirPod.
Yes, we know they've been doing that.
Right.
That they've got patents out for that. So
that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Would be neat if they're doing it. It's being tested in this place, for sure. Now, speaking of fitness, this was also from Cult of Mac. So this is a positive thing from them, other than that negative story. This is very interesting. Graham Bauer is a regular contributor to Cult of Mac. He's a runner, big time runner, and he reviews a bunch of stuff. Well, he did an entire week of every day reviewing a different running app for the Apple Watch. So it's a great rundown of everything. It's called What's the Best Apple Watch Running App? And he grades every one of them: Nike Run Club, Runkeeper, Strava, Runtastic, Map My Run, and Apple's own workout app. And he has logged hundreds and hundreds of miles on all of these and breaks down in a pretty good in-depth review every single one. He gives them an overall score here at the end. But he broke it down into design, metrics, features, reliability, website, and then an overall score. And would you like to know who came in first? Who came in number one?
Drum roll.
Here we go. Nike Run Club.
Da-da-da.
Came in with an overall 84%. Runkeeper was 76%. Strava was 72%. Runtastic was 56%. Map My Run was 56%, and Apple's own workout was only 80%. So Nike Run Club beat out Apple's own internal app just slightly for different reasons. I'll put a link in the show notes. This is a great article. You can click through to read the entire review for each one of these apps. But you know, he doesn't, just because Nike came out overall on top, he still knocks it for a number of things that it does have some issues. And listeners of the show know what those are, because I've told you that my problems with Nike Run Club all along. But apparently, it's the best thing out there right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. After your kind of customer dissatisfaction early on with it, and the way the scores were, they're within a couple. You know, it's within a small percentage of each other. So
right.
You know, so one won, but one is, they're all kind of clumped. Except the two. What you say, Run Map My Run, and what was the other one that was slow? Runtastic?
That was, yeah, Runtastic. And okay, Map My Run, those had the lowest two scores.
Okay. So those two need work. The other three or four, you've probably got little nuances that are different if you want to use them, but they're probably good.
Yeah, I mean, Runtastic used to be one of the best, and it's kind of fallen behind. You know, Strava is basically started out more as a cycling app, but it's got some great running features as well. You know, Apple's own, it's going to keep improving. And one of the things he kind of knocked it for over Nike was, you know, to have some sort of supportable website to track all your data afterwards.
Yeah, I gave him a big turkey egg there.
Yeah, he did, because there is none.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Oh, yeah. That's probably different. So yeah, if you look at the scores, that's the differentiator.
And I have to tell you, you know, and Nike is its own... you're kind of locked into their ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
You can't export your data without like jumping through major hoops. And I've been a part of Nike for so long. It's just, that's a huge barrier to switch that I've never gotten over. But it is getting better. That's part of the reason why their website is really nice for tracking your post-run stuff. My biggest complaint right now with it is the syncing to get your data from the watch to your phone, which then goes to the website, takes some time. It should be faster, but I'm sure that's something they can improve down the road. Anyway, check that out if you're looking for a particular app for running. I haven't seen quite the breakdown like this one is. It's really nice.
It is.
And I think that's it. Any other news stories you want to talk about?
Not news, but I was going to ask you guys, have you been to the mall lately?
No, that's kind of a dying thing, isn't it, a mall?
Well, I mean, that's where you go shopping as market. But anyways, I mean, one of the malls that we are nearby, Memorial City here in Houston, they renovated their store to the new style with the big, huge glass doors that kind of swivel open.
Oh, wow. They have the new look, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, they went to a new wing of the mall, and then they have it's huge. It's huge. It's like the photography kind of lights up on top of the ceiling and all that. But the one thing I noticed was the Apple Watches are no longer – they still have the table. But there's a whole display of Apple Watches that are just lying around. And the bands are against the wall, and you can just pick them up and just try it on. There's no longer that whole intricate experience where you had trying it on and, you know, going to the back room and all that stuff.
It's not a new thing anymore.
Yeah,
yeah, people know it.
There. Yeah. They're just lying around.
Well, they don't have $10,000 watches either.
That's true.
Anymore.
I might have mentioned that in one of the earlier shows I was on, that here in Knoxville, they did the same thing. They moved in the mall to, I would say, almost tripled the size and went to the new store design with the big glass window. Same thing. The thing is, too, it's interesting. I don't know about the store you were in, and I think Houston must have 3 or 4 Apple stores, because I've seen them a couple places when I've been there. But the watch bands, you know, they're on the side of the wall, but they don't have a super wide inventory here in Knoxville watch bands.
Oh.
Yeah, I would say for both 32 or 38 and 42 millimeter, there's probably 10 different types you can get at the store. You know, you're pretty much going to buy them online if you want anything that's not basic.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, the Memorial City, is that considered a flagship store or not?
No idea. I mean, I know the Galleria is, but like in Highland Mall, but
Highland Village is the supposed to be the biggest, actually bigger than the Galleria. Mm-hmm. I know the Galleria expanded, but I still think Highland Village is one of their flagship stores. I wonder if they've switched too. I haven't been out into one in a while, but
where's the Highland Village store in Houston? Is that Northwest?
No, it's more sort of central-ish.
Yeah, it's east of the Galleria. So if you keep on going on Westheimer towards like Kirby, it's closer to the much wealthier parts of the city, the old oil money.
Yeah, good way to put it. Yeah, the old oil
money. Yeah, right. I've driven through there. It is incredible. And I think I know where that store is. Is it in this is going to be a vague description, but it's glass all the way around?
Yeah.
Is that the same store?
It's a freestanding store, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, I've driven by it.
Yeah, it has a hidden, it has an elevator and kind of a hidden whole back area for business. it's pretty cool.
Yeah, what kind of business, Tom?
The kind don't want anybody else to know about. At least that's where we went when we tried on the Edition watch.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I guess that's it for the news. I guess we don't want to talk about the iPhone 8 production, do we?
We try that for another show.
Let's save that. Man, you could do a whole show just on iPhone rumors. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them. All right, time to move on. Now, we don't actually have any app reviews today, but we do have some reviews of a new line of bands that Clockwork Synergy has just released. They were nice enough to send us some samples, and we've been trying them out for a while now, and they're really nice. They have some really cool new features as far as ordering the bands go. Longtime listeners of this show may remember our interview with Jen Allen, I think it was over a year ago, and we're very happy to have her back on the show, sort of our yearly check-in, kind of see what's new. They were nice enough to offer our listeners a discount. It's a pretty good one here coming up, and I know this sounds like one big commercial for them, but I really do love talking with Jen, and the company makes some great bands for the Apple Watch, so I wanted to get Jen on the show again, and as a thank you to our loyal listeners, I think it's fantastic that we're able to give you a deal on stuff for your Apple Watch. So this is the interview we did this past week, and I'd like to share that with you now.
The Apple Watchcast. Special guest.
All right. Our special guest today is Jen Allen from Clockwork Synergy. Hi, Jen. Welcome back to the Apple Watchcast. It's nice to talk to you again.
It's so nice to talk to you too, Tom.
Yes, it's our pleasure. Now, it's been, I looked it up. It's been a little over a year, I think, since we had you on the show last time. And quite a bit has happened since then in the world of Apple Watch. So I have to ask you, how have things been going at Clockwork?
Really well. The Apple Watch band market's been pretty generous to us, and we're just cranking out new designs all the time. And then we moved into a new location after the flood that happened in Ellicott City. The building got renovated, and we moved up on the third floor in the Taylor's building, which is kind of interesting. So the Taylor's building used to be like the original department store, where it had all these different vendors and companies there. And they used to actually have a watch company. I don't remember the name of the watch company, but there was a watch company in there on the floor that we're at. And then us being on the third floor is kind of like playing with that watch company to the watch band. It's really nice.
That's pretty cool. That's wow. That's and third floor, so no flooding.
Yeah.
It's like, you get a little higher. I hope everything was okay with the flooding. It's the last time we spoke, Apple Watch had been out for about a year, I think. And now here we are 2 years out, or a little bit more than 2 years. And now Apple has not just one, but like four different models available, with more on the way, hopefully this fall. So that has to be great news for your business.
Oh, we love it. And there's been some other smart watches that kind of died out. I'm not going to mention any names unless you know who they are. But when they died out, we had a lot of people that switched over, and they're like, well, who's the leader in this game? So a lot of people are switching over to the Apple Watch, getting reintroduced to the Apple Watch. And then you have your longtime users that are just adding more customizations, or maybe, like you said, upgrading, getting one of the newer watches as well.
Yeah, I'll mention names. I mean, were you were you sad to hear about the demise of Pebble as a brand? I mean, I know you sell bands for those watches if you look on your website, but that's got to be tough to see that happen in the industry.
It is, and it's quite bittersweet, because Pebble was a startup. It was from Kickstarter.
It
was one of the companies that was backed by the people, and we were listed as one of the premier band providers for Pebble. I mean, I remember Pebble themselves, whenever they would answer questions on Twitter, or actually the Pebble forums mostly, but they would say, oh yeah, go to Clockwork Synergy for the bands. And then all of a sudden, we have a lot of people that were even asking us for bands, like, hey, can I exchange this band for an Apple Watch band? Is like, well, when did you buy it? Let us know.
Wow. Well, that's true. You do have a lot of different styles to choose from for the Apple Watch. And that's why I've been a big fan of your company for quite a while. Now, I noticed a lot of other band manufacturers tend to specialize in a particular type or style of band, and you have a much better selection of that. So I think that's a wonderful testament to what you guys do there. So I guess you have more room for more Apple Watches bands, right?
Yeah, we actually, side note, we have a adapter. So our 38 millimeter Apple Watch adapters fit our 20 millimeter bands. Our 42 millimeter Apple Watch adapters fit our 24 millimeter bands. So it means 38 to 20, 42 to 24. So those 22 millimeter Pebble, because the Pebble Watch was 22 millimeter, they didn't quite fit. So we actually went out and got a new adapter style to fit the Pebble bands into your Apple Watch.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
that's great.
That's really neat. I did not know that. Now let's talk for a second here about some of the new items you have. In particular, you now offer the ability to choose your own adapter and buckle color when ordering, right?
Yes, we had that as an option for the leather bands, mm-hmm. but not as an option for say, the two-piece classic NATO. And it's really the NATO game that is changing, because now you can change the color of the buckle and the adapter. And in addition to that, the big thing is that it's a quick release, so you don't have to buy all the bands with the adapters already on it for the NATO bands.
Right.
So it's definitely like opens up, especially it's lighter on your wallet as well, because you can just buy one adapter like we have for the leather bands, one adapter, and any band that's the same size that you need will fit. So now that happens with our two-piece RAF NATOs.
Yeah, you know, that's something I don't think I've seen. We talked about this earlier. I don't think I've seen that from very many manufacturers at all yet, the ability to choose those adapter and buckle colors, at least to this degree. Now, that's not on all of your Apple Watches. You said it's on the leather, the NATO, correct?
It's on any of the leather, any of the two-piece RAF NATOs, which are the new bands that just came out.
Right.
And then you can also do that on the two-piece Perlon as well.
Okay.
And I think if I recall, you can have anywhere between 50 to 65 combinations between all the adapters, because we now have brush gold to match the sport aluminum gold. So you can have up so many different combinations. You can have a brush gold adapter and then a stainless steel buckle, and then just go down the line of all the options.
Oh, I mean, it's crazy when you think about all of that. I mean, if the possibilities. So someone else may actually have a similar style of the band, but it won't be the same because you have a certain color lug or buckle. I think that's kind of neat. It makes it a little more personal, if you will.
Definitely.
And that's something that's been missing in the market for a while on bands, and we've reviewed a lot of them on the show, that for a long time, you can't even get this from Apple right now. If I were to order, you know, a particular band from Apple, like their normal classic buckle type, I don't have a choice. I cannot get it in to match my, you know, particular watch color, which I think is crazy that Apple doesn't offer that. I guess it would just be too many SKUs for them, but the way you do it is a little more unique. So what happens is, if I understand this correctly, and stop me if I'm wrong, but once I've ordered a band with a particular color, so if I ordered a band with a lug that matches my watch, let's say it's rose gold, if I order another band down the road from you, I can order without the lugs because I can switch it out with that quick release, and it will be cheaper just to buy the band. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I got it right. Okay, good.
Now, the Apple Watch users are very smart. A lot of the customers have figured that out. Sometimes they buy an additional adapter just to keep onto the side if they decide they don't want to do the quick release option, which everyone has their own choice. The only thing you cannot do the quick release option for, which was a little bit of a game changer, like I said, with the new one, is the two-piece classic NATO and the two-piece heavy NATO. They are already pre-installed, so you would have to go back to using the tool. So that's why for those two categories, a lot of times the customers would just take the order with the adapters already attached into them.
Yeah. Now I kind of got ahead of myself here. People may be confused at this point. Can you explain what that quick release mechanism is?
Sure. Yeah. So the quick release mechanism is, it's a spring bar pin, and on the back there's a hole cut out nicely designed wise. There's a hole cut out on the back of the band. So there's a little metal ball that you can pull, and that will pull the spring back in the pin and release it from whichever lug. So we have our adapters, but if you're in a regular watch, it would release it from the watch. So same concept.
Yeah, and anyone who's ever had to replace a band on a regular watch with a pin without one of these really appreciates how easy this is.
Yeah, over the weekend, Tom, I took it apart just to play with it, and it's very easy to unclip and clip back on. It takes, you know, hardly any time at all. So it's very easy to do.
Yeah, it's amazingly simple to do. Now, your new collection, which is kind of why we're here talking about this one. You have a new collection out that I think is really cool. It's that you mentioned already. It's the two-piece. Is it called RAF or RAF?
We call it RAF in-house. Okay. I'm sure other people call it other things, but the RAF was just a definition or style of the NATO. So the RAF has the nylon loop that differentiates it from the other NATO bands.
Yeah, when I hear RAF, I think of the Royal Air Force.
But that's exactly, yeah.
Is that it? Is that what it's based on? Okay. I guess that's the style. But tell us a little bit more about them. I mean, they're really nice. And by the way, full disclosure here, all three of us here on the show have tried out these bands, and they are fantastic. I have one for my stainless steel Beta watch. I got the slate color, and I have a black, gray, and navy one for my Nike Apple Watch. So they look fantastic. The fit is really nice. They're pretty cool. Now, the style to me is kind of like a cross between a sport look and something a little more dressy in design, if that makes any sense. I'm not a fashion expert by any means, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that the NATO style has range. You can wear it works with a lot of different situations and I think it's pretty cool.
So what is different about these that think of it as a hybrid between our previous NATO collection that we have with an added kick of having that quick release option? So these two-piece rafts, NATOs, they're thicker. So they're almost thicker than the two-piece heavy NATOs that we have. And they have that nylon loop, but they're the same length of the two-piece classic NATO. So we took elements from each NATO strap and band that seemed to do well, especially with customer response, you know, what they liked, what colors they liked. Our colors are always based off of, you know, how many people are buying a certain color, and those usually become the most popular colors. I remember I used to always want these bright, bright colors, and then the market was like, no, we do not want hot pink and lime yellow together. So,
well, maybe that's why I like these bands so much. You just explained it. It's a little thicker, and mm-hmm. The design is a little different than the normal NATO, right?
Yeah, two things, Tom, I thought that I really liked. One, I think is it 2.25 millimeter thick, Jen? I think that's what it said on the website.
Yeah, it's double over NATO nylon.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, out of the box it would be a little stiff, and, you know, it'd be tough to get around the wrist, and thinking it was that thick, but it's not. It forms around your wrist fantastic, and actually you find the right hole too. Your watch doesn't like shake around on your wrist, but it's not too tight. I found maybe my wrist is the perfect size. But I also like the clasp, that thick clasp that you have when you roll in the whole side of the band into the clasp. I love that thickness of it.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too. That loop is that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. is those loops that don't move, you know, they're stitched on and you can't adjust them. I love the fact that you can adjust this one, and because it is so thick, it's nice and tight. I like that.
Nice. That's so good to hear, because that's why we design these bands for the users. We don't design them to just make them look pretty on a website. We want people to go out and use them and, you know, wear and tear and see how well it works. And it's really good to hear feedback. Of course, we've got feedback from our customer base as well. But,
right.
You know, you guys are pretty much into the Apple world as much as you can be. And, you know, I'm sure you've tried on many, many bands. So thank you for the feedback.
Way too many. I have a problem, as I've said before.
Yeah, you said that last year around this time, and that's when I was like, I plugged our boxes, like, oh, hey, use our box to hold your bands. I'm sure you need a couple more by this point.
Yeah, well, I've got quite a few, but I don't know why. That's a peeve of mine is, I guess, because if that loop, their clasp or whatever you want to call that part, if it doesn't hold down the excess, it tends to get caught on things. And that's, I guess, what drives me crazy. Maybe it's just because my wrist is so small that I have to loop it around so far, you know, than the normal. I love the fact that I can adjust it. So anyway, nice. That's really nice. Very, very cool. You were saying something, Vincent?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the thing is, I got one. I asked for one for my wife as well, because she's got her smaller wrist, and she's very picky in terms of her bands, and she's been definitely happy with this one, specifically because of that loop and for that tail end to kind of fit snugly in there. She's been very happy, and we were definitely looking for something that when she goes out walking, and it's not something that you know, it's not too tight or not unbreathable. We were looking at navies, and you know, this the timing was great on this for us to kind of check it out, and really appreciate it.
Yeah, and then I was just curious, what color did she pick?
She got the navy.
Navy, okay. It's so interesting, because we sometimes assume that the woman will choose the lighter color, but we've had, especially like walking, when I'm doing photo shoots outside, or other women are seeing the product that when I'm doing photography and stuff, they're like, oh, I love this navy. They always go for a lot of them go for the dark ones, and it's pleasantly surprising. I'm like, oh, right, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You had mentioned before, we were talking about on our interview last year, we talked about what sort of guarantee that you have with these bands, which I thought was pretty interesting. You want to tell people about that again?
Oh, yeah. So we have a 60-day guarantee, especially if you're within the United States. It's a little bit easier to do the whole exchange or refund process. But we have a 60-day warranty on all of our bands, hardware included, and then on the nylon. So if you take the nylon out of the adapter and something happens, you can always send that back, and that's 1 year.
Okay, 1 year. Nice. Now, do you have any plans for any... And this style is fantastic. The I'll call it the Royal Air Force one. It's really nice. Do you have any plans for any new styles coming out?
We do. We have some Horween leather that we really want Ooh. To release soon. And then we have different materials coming along. I apologize if I get the material wrong. It's still in the pre-production phase, but I believe it's called Carbonite.
Okay. That's what they put Han Solo in.
Right. No, then maybe. Please don't quote me on this. Twitter's going to go a rage. Okay, but we do, mostly the Horween leather, which is the softer leather that's from San Diego, sourcing things mm-hmm. Within the United States. We're leading more into that direction as well. The nylon, and then we used to have the nylon leather, which we're phasing out a lot of the older bands. So the nylon leather and the diver silicone, not to derail, but we're phasing those out as well, just because, okay. That the time has come for that band to end. It's again, one of the ones where you have to use the tool to put the band in and out of the adapter. So it doesn't make sense to continue some of the lines that just make it more difficult for the Apple user.
Right now. So, you're saying your silicone ones that you're, some of those are discontinuing, you said?
Yeah, the diver silicone.
Oh, the diver one. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I believe, and the premium silicone, they were really thick. I think they were even, they're probably even thicker than these two-piece rafts they should be. They just didn't do as well as we thought they would. So we hope to redesign that and have a better silicone and rubber model out, especially for the people of the sportwears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Doing an activity and, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine. I think the one thing that's real popular with those is the what Nike did with their band. Those extra holes.
Yeah, I would say the I remember when that design came out, I actually fell in love with that design. I liked it. I think I was the only one in the office that liked it.
No, it's cool.
But we have, yeah, I know. we do have something similar. We have the rally bands, which are the leather bands, which are based off the rally racing, but right. I just don't, it's just not as popular as, you know, the perforated, like all the multiple, the holes that Nike came out with. So I think that's a great design. And we may have something like that in the future because we look and see what's going on in the market. What do people like? We don't want to put something out there that won't be received well. And then it just adds clutter. We want to make sure it's sleek, beautiful. You know, just like if you're going to the Apple website and you're trying to find an Apple Watch, we don't want you to have to sift through hundreds and thousands of bands. We want to have more collections that are specialized to what people would like to feel on their wrist.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's great to hear that you're changing things up, you know, that you're, I guess constantly look at what's selling and what's not selling and, you know, adapt from there. So hopefully the RAF or RAF NATO will be a popular seller for you because they are really nice. The really good quality bands.
Thank you. Yeah. They were really fun.
Yeah, I was going through your website too and saw you had like a 4th of July band and a NATO strap, and I didn't see it as Apple Watch. Do you do those time to time, like themed bands, and do you have them available for all the different types of watches?
Yeah, we have the Maryland flag and the American flag, two-piece classic NATOs that you can use for the Apple Watch. And then depending on the color schemes and licensing for certain colors or certain graphics that you're going to get on a band, we can bring them out in the future as well.
That's cool. I have a no surprise to anybody with my band collection, but I do have I have one like that, red, white, and blue. that I wore last week. Yeah, it's once a year you get to know.
Well, I put a picture of a flag on my watch and then put one part of the band red and the other part of the band white and wore a blue shirt.
Oh my God. Well, I wish you had known about our two-piece American flag bands because you can get the entire flag wrapped around, well, maybe not the entire flag, but you can get flag wrapped around your wrist.
Yeah, they do look neat. Those are cool.
Yeah, they are.
And I see you have a Pride band as well.
Oh gosh, yeah, that was really big last year. And it's still every time June comes around, especially for the parades and the, I think the whole month is celebration from what I understand. We already sold out this year again. Luckily, not as fast. We prepared a little bit better. We are one company right now. We just expanded into this huge building and I can only go further and bigger and up from there. But again, we sold out for the Pride bands the second year in a row. So Next year, I'm hoping we do not sell out so everyone can get their bands on time.
Now, you said the Maryland flag band. I'm looking at that one here on the website. You need to come out with a Texas flag one. You'd sell a lot of those.
Is that pretty popular?
Yeah, down here it is. Well, it's a big state. It's a lot of people.
To certain people.
Well, you want a Tennessee one, don't you, Chris? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool flag too. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be neat. But the Texas one is so simple. You know, I would
actually really love to do a whole flag series, especially when the Olympics come around.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
If you have the flags for the different countries, I think that would be just amazing.
Oh, I think you'd sell a ton of them. Yeah. I think they'd be very popular.
Any others planned for any other themes or times of the year?
Since we're working with the new material, we're focusing on that, which is the Hormene leather and the other material, which I unfortunately cannot pronounce right now. And then I know, right? And then in terms of themes for the years, we've got everything pretty much set until the fall and winter time. So when that comes around, we're going to look at everything again and start planning for 2018.
Great.
Are you saying you would like some Christmas tree watch bands? Or
I was thinking, turkeys, and Christmas tree. Valentine's Day, you can do all the great holidays.
St. Patrick's Day, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm writing notes on all of this. We're going to bring this to the marketing meeting.
There you go. Yeah, cover all the big holidays. I think you'd be doing great. But the States one, I do think that's a really cool. Now, that's a big investment in time and money for that, though. That's a slippery slope.
You're going to have to resist buying all of them. That's what I'm hesitating.
I used to have you can laugh at this later, but I used to have a spoon collection when I was a teenager.
Oh, okay.
So, got the spoon from each state. So you could do that for the watch band, get a watch band for each state.
Yeah, I think that's our suggestions then is to do some state ones, a few more holidays, and a few more of the sport bands. I think you'd be perfect. Any other questions, guys, you have for Jen?
I was just thinking, I was curious looking through the site with the photography. I mean, most of these band sites that we visit, I mean, the photography is a very important part of kind of showcasing what you have. I mean, what you've done here took a lot of effort, and it shows.
Thank you so much. I'm going to tell Emily in social media because she does a lot of the photography. I would say we split the duties. So I do a lot of the product photography with the white background, the listing, everything you see usually on the listing. And then she does a lot of the blogs and everything else in social media world. She has just taken over the direction and, with our team effort of putting it together. Really helped put us out there. And we have so many people that also send us pictures. We have a Restrap Wednesday hashtag that we use. So every Wednesday, we in Instagram, we retweet or regram three pictures from users all throughout the week that they're just sending them in to us or tagging us so we can use it. It's amazing. Just we build and feed off of each other in that imagery part.
That's
cool. Very cool.
Yeah, that's very neat. Speaking of your website, I was looking through here. There's something I hadn't seen before. Two-piece Perlon watch bands for the Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah. I must have glossed over that. But the two-piece Perlon. Okay, so the Perlon was really light and breathable.
Yeah,
and what's
nice.
Really cool about that, you can put the tang, which is part of the buckle, the little pin looking thing, you can push it through any part of the Perlon, so it's completely adjustable. You don't have predefined holes to set it up in.
Yeah, I noticed looking at the photos, there's no holes.
Yeah.
It's because you can put it through anywhere.
Yeah, it's really, a lot of people really like that because it's also light. They use it for the summertime.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That would go well here in Houston. very hot and humid. Neat. Yeah, those are cool. Is that new? Are those new?
Yeah, we released them. Oh my gosh, when did we release them? I believe that was earlier this year. And it all just kind of happened really quick because we had the one-piece Perlons And then there was for the traditional watch wearer, they had a really good return on comments and feedback, and we got the two-piece Perlon as a response to the one-piece Perlon. So usually a lot of times we start with one piece with the traditional watch world, and then we transform it into the two-piece because, unfortunately, with the sensor, or fortunately because you have the heart sensor on the Apple Watch, you don't want to block it. So
yeah, two-piece makes much more sense with that.
Yeah, we did have some people that were willing to do a one-piece before we had the two-piece options. They're like, I'll just do it. I don't mind. I don't need the heart sensor. But we adapt it with the time, so yeah, they don't have to do that anymore.
Well, well, that's weird because I would imagine that their watch would be locked the whole time, wouldn't it?
It was a very few amount of people that were willing to do that.
You can deactivate that, but
you can? Okay, yeah.
Hey, for the sake of fashion, people do a lot of things.
That's true. They do. I have noticed that.
I did have a question, though, Jen. I'm going a little off script here to the silicone bands. Your silicone bands are pretty neat, too. They have a great design.
Now, when you say the silicone, you mean the... Because we have silicone, diver silicone, and premium silicone. You mean our OG, our silicone?
Yeah, just silicone. Yeah,
great. It says 6 millimeter thickness. Make sure. So that we had three designs for that when our silicone bands were originally came out, and they had ones with a what's it called when you have a graded bottom, so it was like a grid that was on the back side of the watch band, but then a lot of people said they liked the smoother side, so that this is the iteration that was most popular, the silicone ones that you see, and they're not going away anytime soon. Those are the ones that we're going to be holding on to, and if anything, we would just get new colors to eventually add to the collection for the silicone.
Well, and plus your on all your bands, I've noticed the colors are very vibrant. You know, they really pop extremely well.
I mean, it's really, especially when people want to match it to their watch faces, the Apple Watch isn't dull. So unless you have a muted color, but a lot of times people get like these really bright Apple Watch faces that they can put on their watch, and then they have the band to match it. And I mean, we see so many pictures on social media with people tagging us saying, oh, this matches my watch face perfectly. Or again, with their fashion, like this matches my red shoes, or, you know, whatever color band they have to match with their outfit that day. It's really cool to see.
I think, again, one of the best features that they ever put into the Apple Watch was this band technology, the ability to switch it out quickly. I mean, the style and everything that people can do with it is amazing.
We're really lucky that Apple opened up that technology, because they could have held on to it and say, no, this is proprietary. We don't want to open up third-party watch band manufacturers or allow people into the market. But if anything, I think it's a win-win because...
Oh, yeah.
It creates so many options. And you can see, I don't know if you've looked at all the selections yet, but I think the last I counted, we had around 300 plus bands just for the Apple Watch. And that doesn't include the customizations you can do with each band.
Right. And that's why, I'll say it again, love your website, because to get this selection, you know how many pages you have to go through on Amazon just to find any of these styles and colors? I mean... And then you got to worry about the quality of what you're going to get, you know, because you've never heard of them before.
That is a lot of SKUs for a company your size. So it is impressive. What kind of delivery date do you typically have if you do go in and customize all the different options for a band?
Usually I update the website within 24 to 48 hours if something sells out. But most of the time when you select something, we have it in stock. It ships out within the next day, the next business day, Monday through Friday. So if you order something on a Thursday night, it's going to ship out on Friday. Depending on where you are, we use USPS First Class for free, or you can upgrade and pay for shipping if you want it faster. But usually we have people receiving it within 2 to 4 business days after their order.
That's great. So you just have all the individual inventory, and do you assemble them based on what the customer selects for the different colors and combinations?
Yeah. So if they – usually the stainless steel is the default. So if you order stainless steel, you'll take less than – the band will still get out at the same time. But if you get a different color buckle – and especially they have to install all the adapters, and we test every single adapter. So we have two watches there. We have a 38 millimeter and a 42 millimeter that we test all the adapters in before every single order goes out.
Oh, great.
And unfortunately, a few do get past the test where it just does not work. And this also comes in line with if you've had other adapters in the Apple, and I don't know if you guys have had other adapters inside the Apple Watch, or if you've used the bands that come attached with their own adapters, but sometimes that can also affect when you're trying to put in a new watch band, you know, if something's been altered slightly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, that brings up a good point. You can buy on your site the Apple Watch adapters by themselves, right?
Correct. And a lot we've had people do that too, where they buy one adapter and then they or one adapter set, and then they just go on a shopping spree in the watch band section, because even from each listing, you can choose without adapter.
Right. And I also see you sell the buckles too in different colors, right?
Correct. But you're better off choosing the buckle customization when you're ordering the band instead of buying a buckle on your own and trying to change it out. Although you can totally do that too if you want to have five different buckles in one band.
I was going to say, unless you're crazy like me and you just have too many options, then that's definitely something you can do.
I got to say, it's actually, for me, it's quite challenging. They laugh at me at the office whenever I try to change a buckle out, because I've got the clumsiest hands, and I can't do it. I can't. So they set up all the bands for me so I can do the photography.
Well, I have to tell you, when the Apple Watch first came out, I bought a third party band on Amazon that wasn't even made for the Apple Watch, and I kind of modified it to fit. It was a chore, and it didn't quite work as well. So I really appreciate the simplicity of just being able to, you know, use the quick release or even change out these buckles would be pretty simple.
We're really happy to be there, especially within the smartwatch market, because we were, like I mentioned earlier, for other smartwatches, we were like the go-to watch band. And when you have that shift, you have a new brand that comes out and a brand that's sleek and design. I love the design of the Apple Watch. It's probably my favorite smartwatch to look at because it's just, it's nice. I don't know what else to say about it beyond
And of course, now I mentioned before, we have hopefully a new watch or two coming out this fall. And I got to believe Apple's not going to change these adapters.
Oh, no. They didn't change it for the Apple Watch 2, so we're pretty confident that they won't change the adapters. And if they do, they'll announce it and release it to the third-party manufacturers, or at least we hope they will, like they did last time. so we can adjust.
One more thing I want to mention. So these bands are available at your website, right? ClockworkSynergy.com. Where else can you purchase these bands, or is that the best place to go?
I would say that's the best place to go.
Okay.
We do sell on Amazon and eBay as well. If you want to use a discount code, though, you can only use it on our website, a discount code that we give out. So you can only use it on the website. So a lot of the traffic is funneled towards the website.
Okay.
And it's partially because we can control. We can control the layout. You can see all the different collections. You're in Amazon, you're going to just be there. We have, I think, if I recall last, we have like over 2,000 listings in Amazon alone.
Wow, that's a lot. Now, speaking of codes, you have a special promo code for our listeners, right?
Yes,
we have something pretty cool. I think it's actually 25% off of your purchase from now through the end of July, so that goes through July 31st, and the promo code is 25 Apple WC. So that's 25 APPLEWC. And that's 25% on anything, right?
Correct. Well, minus it does not apply towards sale items because they're already discounted anywhere between 50 to 75%. So you're getting the best deal possible. But you can use the coupon on anything else that's in the cart.
Of course. Okay. So it's not just for any particular type of band or whatever. It's anything. That's great.
Correct.
Wonderful.
The sale items are a really good deal, by the way.
Yeah, I was looking at those too. I was like, I'm going to get in so much trouble here. I don't know. I need another drawer for storing all my watches. It's kind of sad. When I go on a trip, I have a little bag that I put nothing but watch bands in so I can switch them out. If I'm on a long trip, I'll switch them out, you know, every day or whatever.
Hey, Tom, I have a bag in my work bag, and I change them all the time.
Do you? You know,
especially
okay.
When I work out, you know, I wear a different band than when I'm in the office.
Yeah.
Or anything. So it's I've got six or seven bands I carry with me every day, and then on the weekends I switch out the bag a little bit. It's kind of ridiculous.
It is. Well, at least I'm not alone with that. I'm glad to hear.
No, you're not.
Okay,
you're not.
Good. I thought that was.
And you know, Jen, I purposely I worked out in your band because I've accidentally wore a nylon band to the gym, and I'm like, well, I can't go home and change. I'm just going to do my run. And the nylon bands just, you know, get kind of ugly after a long run. And I thought, I'm going to do this with this band. And, you know, I don't know why I did it, but I'm not sure if it's a scientific study or not. But I've done 3 runs in this band, and it really does well from a standpoint of, you know, not absorbing all the sweat and, you know, really getting ruined, you know, after the run. So maybe it's the thickness about it.
Oh, you're saying it does ruin the band? Or you're saying it doesn't ruin the band?
It didn't. It did not. It survived well in my workouts.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, which I really liked about these new Raft bands, is that they're doubled over. So think of it as like you have one band and then it loops through, it's stitched and then it's heat sealed and then trimmed on the edge as well with the heat seal. And so you have 2 layers of nylon NATO. So it's not just one thick layer, it's 2 layers, which is nice for that moisture to just wick away.
Yeah, you can definitely tell the difference. And as we said earlier in the show, it's the 2.25 millimeter thickness, it's kind of a game changer because it really is very comfortable, very nice looking, very vibrant, and really hugs your wrist. But I mean,
you can't see, but I'm like shaking my head to everything like, yes, yes.
That's great. Well, thanks again, Jim. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I really do appreciate it. Again, you're basically responsible, as I've said before, to continuing to feed my band addiction. but if you have a problem with too many or not enough bands, you can find many more at clockworksynergy.com. And don't forget that promo code 25AppleWC at checkout to get 25% off your purchase now. But you have to hurry now through the end of July. So it's not forever. Just that. So again, thank you, Jen. Would love to speak to you again in the future. If you got anything new coming up, let us know.
Oh, we definitely do. And thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. Take care.
You too.
Again, thank you, Jen, for being on the show. It's always great to talk to you. And again, thanks for the big discount for our listeners. That was very generous of you. And I hope a lot of you listening can take advantage of this before the end of July. I know I have my eye on a few bands here, and that discount will come in handy. And if you missed it, again, the code is 25AppleWC, and I will also update that on our website with a link at applewatchcast.com. So thanks again, Jen, for doing that. We really do appreciate it. All right, time to move on.
The Apple Watchcast. Listener feedback.
All right, time for listener feedback. We got some great feedback, actually, on the National Park Challenge, apparently not just here in the U.S. Craig Lucas on Facebook said we got them in the U.K. too. And Patrick Watson said in Canada too, eh? So Canada and the U.K. can also take advantage of that. Very nice. And Mark Dillon posted his medal. And Mike Zarda said, I didn't want to, and I didn't remember about it until 4:30, but damn you, Apple, I did it. So, good. I'm glad you got to do that, Mike. Kind of forced you to. Our next email here is from Omar. Says, hi, Tom, just listened to the episode where you mentioned the Apple Watch swapping scams. Regarding telling the difference between the Series 1 and Series 2, there actually is an easy way to tell the difference between the two models, without having to look up serial numbers. Ever since the Series 1, if you look at the bottom of the watch, they engraved either Series 1 or Series 2. I imagine this would make it easier for retailers and third parties to tell the difference. Cheers, Omar. Well, thank you for your email, Omar. I have a Series 2, but it's a Nike. And I know on the back of that has a Nike swoosh. So you definitely know that's a Nike watch. I guess now, Chris, you have a Series 2 or 1?
I'm looking at it. Sure enough, take it off, flip it over, and engrave says Series 2.
Well, there you go. Yes. Perfect. Thank you for that, Omar. So the people at, what store was it? Was it a Walmart that had that scam?
Target.
Or Target.
I think it was Target, wasn't it?
They should have just turned it over and looked at it. of course, they probably weren't even aware that there's a Series 1 or 2. They think an Apple Watch is an Apple Watch, I'm sure.
That's what we talked about. They're not as well trained as the Apple employees, and probably didn't even know.
Yeah, probably not. Our next email here is from Robert in San Diego. It says, "Hi guys, you probably already know about this little cool device to charge an Apple Watch on the go. It says I bought one for $34 delivered from Amazon for my Beta Series Apple Watch. The price is right because it has both a battery and the charging puck included. It works great. After charging my watch from 20% to 100%, the device still had between 25 and 50% remaining charge. So I think it would charge an Apple Watch from dead flat to 100% easily. Several Amazon reviewers said the battery in this device does not hold a charge long enough or long after fully charged when not used. I've not had it long enough to know if that's true, but I keep it plugged in all the time when idle. Hopefully it will keep it fully charged and not adversely affect its battery." And this is from, and again, thank you for that, Robert. This is from Oitm, O-I-T-T-M, and it's a travel-size charger with a little clip for your keychain. So it's just a little tiny square with a puck in the middle of it. So pretty nice. I think normally it's like $90. I think you can get on Amazon for $34.
Comes with the puck.
Yes, that's built into it.
Yeah.
That's novel.
Well, since it's a battery, you know, I mean, this is...
And price, too.
Yeah, and that's my only fear for something this small was how much charge can you get out of it. But it's not for every day. It's for when you're, you know, kind of an emergency. Mm-hmm. My goodness, my watch just told me I'm almost on power reserve here. You know, I need to charge immediately. And if you have that just hooked in your keychain, there you go. Nice. Nice recommendation. I'll put a link in the show notes to that. And then Drew had sent us an email last week, and I got partway through it, and I kind of had a choking fit from something Vincent said. So I wasn't able to get through the entire email. So I'd like to finish here where we left off. Let's see, because you had a number of different things to talk about, Drew, because it had been a while since we heard from you. You said you've been training for a marathon and loving the watch in preparation. Never ran before in my life, but exercise pretty regularly. You guys made fun of me once for exercising in the middle of the night. I remember that. We did. You said, "I've been experimenting with a couple of the watch running apps and was wondering what your thoughts were. I tried the Runkeeper for a while, but it deleted several of my long runs, which led me to abandon that one. One week I deleted two out of six runs. Ooh, I didn't think that was a good track record, so I moved on to the Nike Run Club. I don't like it as much as Runkeeper, but it hasn't deleted any of my runs, so that's what I've been going with. I did have something goofy happen last night, though. After an 11-mile run, it told me I had burned zero calories, and it hadn't tracked my heart rate. He says, Tom, I know you have a love-hate relationship with Nike Run Club. Any tips? Ever have that happen to you?" He says, "Also, I hate the big font that doesn't show any more than tenths of a mile once you get into double-digit miles. I need to know more frequently how far I'm going. For example, when you're in single-digit miles, it will read 5.01, 5.02, etc. When you get to 10-plus miles, it only reads 10.0, 10.1, 10.2. I'd like to make the font smaller so I could see 10.11, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know if there's a way to do that?" No, I don't think there is a way to do that, unfortunately. I think that's locked into the design of that app. I looked it up. I could not find any settings for that. First of all, amazing for getting into the double digits of running. If you're just starting out, you're in great shape. I haven't seen double digits in a while, even in my normal training. That's quite a few miles to run in one set. Because 13 is a half marathon, so you're getting close to that if you're over 10. Unfortunately, I don't think so. We just had an article that compared all of these apps, Drew, and if you go to our show notes on our website, applewatchcast.com, click on the link there from this episode and read all those different reviews, I think you'll find that the Nike Run Club is probably your best bet at the moment. Your findings are the same as what Graham's were from that article. Mm-hmm. He also says, "Moving on, I have been using the watch to unlock my MacBook Pro for quite a while now. It was a nightmare when it first came out. It would never work. It even screwed up my sign-in on all my other devices when I set up two-factor authentication. A senior-level support guy couldn't even figure it out. He said, side note, Apple support has really gone downhill. Oddly enough, I finally got it to work by turning off two-factor authentication, which is what you apparently need on, to enable it. I know, weird, huh?
I need to clarify that part. I think it's two-step authentication is one of them, and then two-factor authentication is the other one.
Yeah, that's confusing. Anyway, yeah. That's confusing.
Yeah. When I set mine up to do it, because mine's worked flawlessly since I set it up, but I Googled both those statements, Vince, because I was like, what is the difference? And if you read it, it's kind of clear what the differences are, but without reading it and seeing it in print, you're like, wow, what are the difference between those two statements?
Well, two-step versus two-factor. Two-factor would mean two separate...
Two elements
of security. Two step just means it takes, you have to do two different things.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
So they're kind of the same, but different. Anyway, he says, I've since gotten it figured out with the two factor and it's worked like a charm for quite a while now. It's a little thing, but it's quite nice. So you guys concur that's a neat thing once you get it working.
It works great.
When you get it working. It
sounds like one of those things you got to stand on your left foot, turn your head this way, and hold your breath for a second before it'll work.
Exactly.
I didn't have that experience. I Googled how to do it, set it up, and it worked the first time.
Wow.
And it never had an issue. I haven't gone through any hard times with it.
He also says, I also have to brag for just a second. I'm always surprised to hear you guys talk about having trouble meeting the stand goal. He goes, I just went back and checked my history, and since launch day of the beta watch, I've only missed the stand goal 4 times.
Wow.
It probably helps that I don't have a desk job. And he says the ADHD helps too. congratulations. That is quite a feat. He said also got the AirPods and love them. Tom, let me know if you find a good solution for better noise canceling. I have the same issue with mowing the lawn. Not quite loud enough. Aside from that, no complaints and love them.
I got mine and I ran in them for the first time. Unbelievable.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. I kept thinking my right ear is a little different than my left. I kept thinking that's going to come out. And I was purposely kind of running hard, and I did an outdoor run and was running across gravel, and I'd run sideways a little bit up a little hill. I was trying to get the dang things to come out, and they wouldn't come out.
The only problem I've had with them in running has been because I'm sweating so much.
Yeah.
You sweat running down here. You go to wipe it kind of absentmindedly. You might bump it, and you have to readjust it to get it to sit back in your ear. And sometimes you lose connection, but it picks right back up.
I did that.
It's only because I forget they're there.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I was sweating pretty hard, and that's where I kept thinking, I have to give them a good clean when you're done because they're full of sweat. So they must have tested that as well. But other than that little slippage where I thought it would come out and I had to clean them when I was done, I even wiped my brow a couple of times and bumped them, and I didn't have any problems.
Yeah, that's been my experience too. And as far as cleaning them goes, I'm going to have to look that up and see what's the best way to clean them.
I just used a paper towel. I didn't really look at anything. They were... but I'm sure there's some proper way to do it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And if
you run it over warm water.
I don't know if I get that right. If I find that, I'll pass that along in a tips episode. Let me finish from Drew here. He said at the very end, he says, I think that's all for now. Thanks again for all your hard work. I normally listen to you guys on my long runs, and it makes them more pleasant. Really impressive to have been keeping this up for so long. Also, I wanted to give you a giant thumbs up for the great quality of your show. I didn't realize how great the quality is until I started noticing fuzz and mouse clicks, etc., on some other podcasts. Yours just sounds great with really impressive quality. Keep up the good work, Drew. Well, thank you for that, Drew. We do try very hard to make this sound much better. And I know what you mean. I've listened to other podcasts, and I sometimes just have to turn them off because I cannot listen to them. It's this thing called matching volume. It's very simple to do. Anyway, thanks for all of your emails, tweets, reviews, and ratings. Send us an email or leave us a review on iTunes, and we'll try to read it here on the show. We really do love to hear from you. And if you haven't yet, please take a moment and leave us a review or even just a rating in iTunes. It all helps keep us on the radar to find new listeners. So any last words before we dock this week's show into nightstand mode?
No, got to wait for the next challenge.
Yeah, I wonder what that's going to be. What do you think it'll be?
I don't know. Labor Day, maybe?
Yeah, going sometime this fall they'll come up with something. Maybe a turkey trot. They had a turkey trot last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
One of the, right. Okay, so there's something new this year then.
Hopefully there's something before that. That's a ways away. But yeah, you're right, Vincent. Maybe Labor Day.
Yep.
I would agree with that. Somewhere around Labor Day.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. And thank you, Jen, for the wonderful interview. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show and give a little something extra in return, you can become a patron of the Apple Watchcast on our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Select whatever level you'd like to subscribe to for as little as $1 a month and get all sorts of great stuff for subscribing. Doesn't cost a lot, and it helps us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on each and every show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes, and don't forget to post a review while you're there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. And we'll try to address it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.